Hello, and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today, we're talking about equipment management, getting back to basics. It's an important topic for HME providers, particularly now, and joining the podcast to talk about it is Sandy Canale. Sandy's the founder and CEO of accrediting organization, the compliance team, and she has a deep familiarity with the policies and procedures taking place across an HME provider, including the warehouse. Sandy, how you doing? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. And thank you for allowing me to do this very important topic today.
Yeah. Well, let's dive in. Let's start. So we're talking about getting back to basics. Let's start with a basic question. Why is equipment management so important?
Well, in my mind, and I think in everybody else's, it's what they do. It's what a DemiPost provider does, linked to their identity. And they're basically telling the world that they're an equipment company. So they should have the greatest amount of expertise and what they're known for by their patients. You know, the other thing is it's related to risk for their company, you know, with supply and demand, whether or not they can get the appropriate accessories and parts and the money linked to their inventory. So they need to manage it well.
So Sandy, you know, obviously you're an accrediting organization. How does equipment management factor into accreditation?
Well, the easy answer is it's directly related to manufacturer guidelines. So basically, what we do as an accreditor is verify that the provider is meeting what needs to be done for the various parts of equipment that they provide, whether it be oxygen or CPAP or wheelchairs or whatever. Each manufacturer has guidelines for how to handle and manage the equipment. So what we do as an accreditor is actually walk through, I always said when I started, you know, an on-site evaluation, I started in the warehouse because it really told me about the company and what to expect. If they did a good job in the warehouse and managing their equipment, then it has that trickle-down effect impacting everything else they do.
Right, because like you were saying, it's at the heart of their business, right?
Exactly. So one of the things that, you know, they need to do is to look at their warehouse and storage areas as well as delivery vans, comparing it to the manufacturer guidelines, testing their equipment tracking system, and can they link each piece of equipment to a patient that where the oxygen concentrator is at Mrs. McGillicuddy's house. So it really is very involved and very necessary to operate a good business as a DemiPost provider.
So of course, you know, as mentioned, you're an accrediting organization. You see a lot of HME providers. How do they do with their equipment management, generally speaking? Are they good at it? Are they bad at it? You know, if you had to kind of rate the industry, what would you say? Or did I just put you in a tricky spot?
Well, I think for the most part, they do very well, but there are a couple areas where they fall short. Areas like preventive maintenance, where, oh, okay, maybe they're not doing it as often as they should be. So that's really where we see it being done incorrectly. You know, the other thing that they, because it's, you know, so connected to risk management, is success is directly linked to three things. One, did they deliver what was ordered? Two, was the patient properly instructed and, you know, knows how to operate when they leave the house? And, you know, was the product or equipment clean and in good working order and performing according to expectation when they delivered it? Those are key items.
And so, you know, you mentioned that they have to do preventative maintenance or regular maintenance. They have to keep a history of equipment maintenance, right? This goes into their accreditation, right? Maybe you can describe that equipment maintenance history a bit.
Sure. And basically, we refer to it as the equipment history record, where they're logging in, you know, where that piece of equipment is going from location to location. So it's with Mr. Smith, then it goes to Mrs. McGillicuddy, then it goes to Mr. Jones. And what happens to that piece of equipment in between, with it being cleaned, with it being tested, and, you know, making sure that you have a record of all those things. If there was any kind of breakdown and need for repair in between, as well as documenting the preventive maintenance, if certain things with filters being changed in between going from one patient to another. And one of the things, and I think I told you this story years ago, before everybody had it, you know, computerized with the tracking and utilizing the computer to track their equipment, a lot of the providers would have binders of these equipment history logs. And there was one provider that had a fire in their place, in their warehouse, and they had to grab what was most important. And they told me that they grabbed the binders of the equipment history records that they had set up according to our standards.
Oh man, that's perfect. I can almost picture that in my head. That's wild. Well, thank God that it's on computers now.
Exactly.
So now here's a question I'm going to ask that I'm sure all the providers are thinking about listening to this podcast. And that is, how has the COVID-19 public health emergency impacted equipment management? Has it changed what providers do? And has that change been for the better or for the worse?
Okay, so the pandemic has influenced how the providers manage their equipment in a few different ways. Number one, I'll go back to that preventive maintenance where, you know, what's the saying, you know, penny wise and dollar foolish, or is it the opposite way?
No, penny wise.
Oh, I got it right. Yeah, okay. Right. Thinking that, okay, because we, you know, we have less staff, we need to, it will sort of be a little easier on our preventive maintenance, not keep up with it as much because of the pandemic, when the reality is that's exactly what you should be doing. Because during the pandemic, you don't want to have to go into Mrs. Jones's house and trade out that concentrator because you didn't keep up with your maintenance. That's only bringing more risk to the situation and needing more equipment that you may not have because of supply chain shortages. So, you know, I found that to be true, where the feedback is, well, we don't have the staff, we don't have this. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you need to factor this in, you know, and think about this, you know, in a smarter way. Now, the other thing, obviously, some folks did have supply chain problems, and it may not be with the actual equipment, but when it got into any kind of breakdown with repairs, they had shortages of parts, or they had, you know, they had to wait a period of time for those parts that they needed for the repair. The other thing that came into play was the disinfecting of the machines and so forth, you know, making sure that they were using, you know, an approved disinfectant, that they were doing it correctly especially in the time of COVID. And whether or not, you know, certainly delivery processes changed, whether or not they left it on the porch or they left it on the front step instead of going into the house because they knew that the patient was COVID positive and had just been released from the hospital. So it definitely impacted. Now, on a positive side, it also impacted the providers really getting closer to knowing what met the patient's expectations. They spent more time on the phone with doing follow-up. Maybe it wasn't seeing Mrs. McGillicuddy in person, but it was still that one-on-one, you know, doing more training over the phone, really reaching out and having that that level of connection with their patient because of the pandemic.
That kind of harkens back to the conversation that we had a little while ago about the value-based HME.
Right, exactly.
And that whole talk, that whole discussion was about how, you know, this more expansive view of care is what's going to help providers, really succeed in the future. And it's going to be where they have to kind of evolve. That kind of hints to my next question, which is that there's a business aspect to equipment management as well. Why is this a bottom line priority?
Well, certainly as an owner, you need to identify areas of risk in your business. And that is directly related to your equipment, whether or not, you know, the delivery vehicle is well maintained with that, you know, carries the equipment with, if you have frequent breakdown and every HME provider should be tracking breakdown. Because, you know, it can potentially cause harm to patients, which obviously is a huge risk with regard to incident reports and legal involvement and, you know, just making sure that you're meeting the expectations of the physician that ordered the equipment with their referrals. And, you know, training of personnel on the equipment with handling patients and what they need to do to make sure that the patient understands how to operate, you know, and again, getting back to inventory, you know, it always really surprised me when a provider would say, well, you know, we don't know where all of our equipment is. We know where most of it is, but not all of it is. And it's like, well, your money is tied to your equipment. So you really need to know where it is at all times. So certainly getting back to bottom line, it is directly related to the bottom line.
And of course, equipment isn't solely located to the warehouse. There's equipment in all the delivery vans, and often those vans are treated like inventory locations. What about that? How does that factor into their equipment management?
A successful HME provider may have, you know, 10 vehicles.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah,
there's that too. You know, need to be kept up with all of their oil changes and everything. Yeah. You know, making sure you don't want the vehicle to break down way to Mr. Jones's house.
No,
and you know, the other thing is how you store the equipment within the vehicle, making sure protecting the equipment. You know, making sure, you know, it's secure. You don't want oxygen tanks flying, you know, in your van, you know, so it, you know, the security of the vehicles is important. The infection control related to the management of your delivery items with making sure it's bagged and tagged appropriately and that there's no cross-contamination. If you have dirty equipment and clean equipment, in the same vehicle at the same time? You know, do you have an infection control kit with, you know, a gown and gloves and hand sanitizer and all the things that are necessary? Sometimes somebody, you know, a provider will pick up a piece of equipment that needs to be curbside cleaned before they even put it into the van. So there are all these things that come into play with managing the equipment, with managing your fleet, if you want to call it that, that relate directly to quality standards by the accreditors.
Okay, so you know, this is a lot to take in. If you had to narrow down some key bits of advice for providers that need to get their equipment maintenance into order, what would you tell them, Sandy?
Well, number one, make sure that you have the manufacturer guidelines for all of your equipment. Mm-hmm. Verify and validate the location of all your inventory, and make sure that you do have documentation of the equipment's history, where it has been, breakdown, repairs, preventive maintenance, and certainly the tracking of the breakdown is key to a well-run DME business, and communicating that breakdown to the manufacturer. That actually is very beneficial.
Okay. And getting back to your earlier points about, you know, the relationship between equipment management and accreditation, providers can use the policies and procedures they get from their AAOs to help nail down their equipment management as well, right?
Actually, what they should do is related to the quality standards from their AAOs. As opposed to, because not every AO gives policies and procedures.
Uh-huh.
The compliance team actually does give templates for equipment management, and they could follow that. But most importantly, they need to be in compliance with the standards. That's what it's all about for every AO, is that the provider meets the standards that, you know, they're getting accredited for.
Got it. So sort of ensure they're meeting the standards and ensure they're meeting the manufacturer's guidelines.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Sandy, I really appreciate you taking the time to share your information. If providers want to find out more about the compliance team, how can they reach you guys?
Well, they can give us a call here at 215-654-9110, or access our website, thecomplianceteam.org. So looking forward to hearing from everybody, and would like to make mention that, you know, equipment management is a key part of your day-to-day operations. And we here at the compliance team strongly believe that operational excellence leads to clinical excellence and a better bottom line.
All right. Like we said, it's getting back to basics.
Exactly.
All right. Sandy, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Once again, thanks to Sandy. And again, you can check him out over at thecomplianceteam.org. Okay, I think we're going to wrap things up for the podcast. Don't forget to rate and review the HMB Business Podcast. And please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. And if you like, you can get that as a digital edition, which is great because you can download that as a PDF to your hard drive. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and I'm at Post Acute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via Twitter. Again, that's at Postacute News, or you can hit me up via email at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME business topics like equipment management, but for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.